Today's lessons center around several themes: exile and homecoming, not recognizing and eventual recognition, estrangement and inclusion. These are all aspects of our lives today, just as they were of the first followers of Jesus and the earliest Christian communities. I don't think there's a more universal story, no other story that cuts across time, space, and culture like our gospel story this morning. This odd story of two heretofore unknown disciples who were walking to the heretofore unknown village of Emmaus. One almost wonders how it got into the canon at all. The main characters aren't one or another of the 11. Emmaus was a place of despair and defeat, being a village that had been burned by the Romans in punishments for its support of Judas Maccabeus in the Jewish revolts of 4 BCE. And the two guys involved are essentially going the wrong direction, heading out of Jerusalem, leaving their hopes and dreams behind. Cleopas and his anonymous buddy, and here, I don't know about you, but I have to fill my name into the story as the second disciple. They're walking along a symbolic path as well as the physical one on which we meet them today. So here's a quick look at how I experienced the trip. We're still in shock, barely managing to struggle forward along the path, trudging along, barely noticing the stranger who's fallen into step beside us. After a bit, this guy intrudes on our conversation, basically asking us what we're discussing. I guess the pain and intensity of our discussion about all that's gone on in the last few days is so obvious, he felt he just had to ask. Of course, we're stunned that he doesn't know. How could he be meeting us at this time and in this place and not have heard about all that's happened? Is he from some other planet? He's certainly from out of town anyway, I guess. I mean, come on. It's all over Jerusalem, how Jesus of Nazareth, you know, he was such a good man, and he brought us so much hope. How he was so wrongfully put to death, and such a horrible way to die, too. And you know, I heard some of the women in the group say they actually saw angels at his tomb when they came there the third day after his crucifixion, that morning. Can you believe that? His body was gone, and they said the angels told them he was still alive. Can you imagine? At that point, the stranger interjected himself into our conversation, asking us questions and recalling a number of scripture passages to us. You know, come to think of it, he was actually changing how I thought about all that had happened last week in Jerusalem. He actually seemed to be putting last week's events into the greater context of God's action in the world. I wonder if there could be something more going on here. I wonder if those women could actually be right. Anyway, it was late, and we all know no one should be out on the roads after dark. So we asked him to join us when we stopped for the night. We were all sitting at dinner when, and I still have trouble believing what happened next actually did happen, we recognized who this stranger really was. How could I not have seen it before? It was our beloved Lord who blessed and broke the bread. We knew it was him when he gave us the bread he'd broken. Now things get a bit fuzzy for me. He was there sharing bread with us, but it seemed as soon as we knew who it was, that it was him, he up and vanished from our sight. We were left asking ourselves whether we'd actually just had this shared experience or if, in our grief, we dreamed it up or something. But it had to be true. We were so sure, so excited, that we didn't worry about the roads at night, or anything else for that matter. We could do nothing else but rush back to Jerusalem to tell the 11. As we rejoined the group, we heard he'd also appeared to Simon. And when we could get a word in, we then told him about our experience. How amazing! The Lord is alive and he has a body. I mean, he walked with us and ate with us. But it's certainly not just his former body resuscitated like Lazarus. No, there's something way different going on here. Us not recognizing him at first, he vanishes from our presence but appears to Simon. Something new is definitely going on here. In whatever ways your version of the story might differ from mine, I think we'd agree on some basic fundamentals that are the true revelations of this passage. At some time or other in our lives, we'll all be walking the wrong direction, walking away from a place of hope, intent upon reaching a destination of despair and defeat. While we're intensely focused on those things that sap our faith out of our lives, we're unable to recognize the truth and joy that's accompanying us on our path. It's only when we risk a new perspective, allowing ourselves to witness to the totality of God's loving and grace-filled actions in our lives, that we begin to open ourselves to the possibility of new life in our own futures. And once we've recognized the joy of the truth that Jesus lives and walks with us wherever we are and wherever we're heading, we can't keep quiet about it. And that's perhaps the greatest transformation of all. Through the sharing of the blessed and broken bread with our Lord, we're empowered to hurry back to the others we know who are also struggling with fear and despair, where we listen to their stories of witness and we share our own, that we might strengthen each other as we faithfully await our Lord's directions. My friends, we're modern-day versions of Cleopas and his friend. We walk toward our own villages of Emmaus all too frequently. We often fail to distinguish the presence of the Lord at our side, especially in the worst of our circumstances. Today, let the eyes of faith, your eyes of faith be opened. Recognize the Lord in our midst as we share the blessed and broken bread. Take to heart Peter's words, "For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." Let the realization so ignite you that you simply can't wait to share this revelation. Our Lord is alive. He walks with us, even in the depths of our despair, to bring us everlasting hope. Amen.